Tonight I want to talk to you about the family. I think one of the most important type messages you can hear, and you'll benefit by it if you become not only a hearer but a doer also. If you will, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read from verses 21 through 33. Submitting yourselves to one another in fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the church. Thank you for what it stands for. Thank you for our wives and ladies and those who participate in marriage, both husband and wife, and yes, even the children, that we might understand fully the real meaning of the family, what it really should stand for and why. Challenge us, Heavenly Father, to this end, and we'll be sure and give you the praise for everything. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Any nation's backbone is made up of the family life. The family life of any church, so goes the nation. Because of a changing lifestyle in America, and to a great extent today, the departure to a great extent from the Word of God, as well as our nation, I believe personally we are living in one of the greatest hours of confusion that man has ever known. And every family has been affected. Don't try to get out of it. Every family is affected. Now, the reason, there used to be two groups of people. Those who believed the Bible, the Word of God, and those who were atheists and infidels. Today, however, we have no excuse. We have the Bible, a book that has the answers. The answer to a confused and family problem of America. So America, in reality, is without excuse. And every member of the family is without excuse. And this message tonight, through the Apostle Paul, as he presents our earthly relationship as members of the body of Christ, all I ask of each of you is to be honest with yourself and God's holy word. The Spirit of God, through Paul, addresses wives, husbands, and children, and parents. And here we find concrete, down-to-the-earth teaching about family relationships in the home. And it is a desire of our God that every Christian home should be so ordered that it presents to the world, as well as angels and, yes, demons, the relationship of Christ to the church and the relationship of the church to Jesus Christ. If professing Christians would set the example and follow God's blueprint for a successful marriage based completely on this Word of God and without compromise, then perhaps more of the world would be influenced to become a Christian and establish their own homes as unto the Lord. And above all, the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be left out of a home if that home expects the blessings of God. Your dedication to God determines the foundation of your marriage. In verse 21 through 24, we're going to look at the exhortation of the wives. Look for a moment at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, wives, that's a command. Not just a saying, that's a command. And may I hurriedly add, this order is not based on the ground of the superiority of the husband, not at all, but rather that the union might illustrate perfectly the relationship of the church to Christ. You see, God desires that the relationship should exist in the household of every believer. Husbands, wives, children, don't ignore your responsibility. Don't allow your home to be a failure because of your lack of responsibility. Now, let me illustrate this relationship by the use of the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun rules the day, the moon rules the night. The moon is subservient to the sun, receiving its light from the sun and reflecting only what the sun gives. On the other hand, the moon shines while the sun is absent, yet the sun shines through the moon into the world. The sun is the Word of God, and it is a symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ, while the moon is a symbol of the church. And just as the moon shines while the sun is away, so the church is to shine in this world while the Lord is in heaven. The Lord reveals His glory through His church. Don't ever forget that. You are the key. And the stars represent individual believers, and the moon represents the church in general. And both are to shine for Jesus Christ in His absence from this earth. Now let me take a close look again here at verse 21 to 24. Notice verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now believe me, ladies, such a subject is not easy to teach because of women's suffrage groups, women's rights leagues. They're all opposed to the plain teaching from the Scripture on the subject of female submission. And ladies, it's certainly not my intention to put you down. Rather, it's to build you up and make you queen of your household. That's the way it should be, men. God's divine order for the wife is to be submissive unto her husband as unto the Lord. The Christian wife is to show respect and honor for her Christian husband, remembering that this is a divine rule. It's not a man-made law to reduce the woman to the level of some sort of servant. However, a Christian wife is not to submit to sin in order to please her husband. She is supposed to please her Lord. He comes first, always. And it's perfectly legitimate and right for a woman to go as far as she possibly can to please an unsaved husband. But she is not supposed to deny the Lord in doing so. Now watch this close, very close, wives, and be very careful how you receive instructions. Because many good pastors, deacons, Christian workers have been hindered badly or ruined because of an insubordinate wife who refused to adhere to God's word and be in submission to her husband. As the church is submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ, even so, the wife is to be in subjection to her own husband. Confusion in and out of the church is brought about by a headstrong woman who are determined to run their own affairs without consulting the Lord or allowing her husband to be the head of the home. The result is constant bickering in the home with unhappy results, and altogether too often it ends up in a divorce court. The divine order from God's holy word, the divine order is that the husband is to be the head of the home, and the wife, if she violates that order, then trouble begins. The subjection of a wife to her husband is not that of force and fear or slavery, but of loving subjection, which comes from freedom in Christ and His Word. Therefore, as a church is subject unto Christ, so let the husband or the wives be subjected to her own husbands in everything. Now, what I'm saying is this. A body with two heads is a monstrosity. And a church with two heads cannot prosper. God made the pastor that head. And a home with two heads cannot stand. Wives, as unto the Lord, be submissive to your husband in everything. Now, with that said, let's take a look at the husband's responsibility. In verse 28, it says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." An analogy between Christ and the church is drawn here again. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen carefully now, because this is important. The husband is to exercise his headship with tender love. He is to love his wife with a love kindred to that love which Jesus demonstrated on Calvary's cross when he gave his precious life for the church. Husbands, be sure you comprehend that kind of love and practice it with your wife. When love like this characterizes the husband in the home, believe me, he will never be harsh, domineering, or unkind. He is to be the one who assumes his God-given place of leadership in the home and assume that responsibility that goes with it. He will be the one to lead the way in spiritual matters as well as other duties. He will maintain a family devotions and make sure that his church is well attended regularly by all members of his family. And he should be able to say with Joshua of old, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." Be careful here now, men. Be the leader of your home. You should, as the leader of your home, remember you're not a boss in that home by any means. God said you are to love your wives as yourself. God's word has no place for bossy husbands and rebellious wives. Remember, Christ loved the church enough to die for it. And when a husband manifests such love for his wife, then submission on her part will be a joy as well as a delight. At the same time, both husband and wife are to forgive one another's faults. The Christian husband who bears the image of Christ will be like the Lord in the exercise of sacrificial love. No Christian wife can dispute the ruling place in the home when her husband displays to her such a love. Every right of the husband to the headship of the home must be exercised in love toward their wives, and be not bitter against them. And remember, men, the wife is not to submit to bitterness. She is to submit to love. Look at verse 29. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord, the church." A man who would hurt or injure his wife is one who would injure himself. The Bible tells us very plainly, while Adam slept, God removed a bone from his body and from it made woman, so that Adam said, listen carefully now, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. So let every husband and every wife learn the truth that both are one flesh and treat each other as such. And when that truth hits home, then they will experience the joy and blessings of walking together in mutual love and subjection. I challenge every Christian husband and wife to be obedient to one another every day of your life. Yes, the mind of this world is opposed to this teaching. It's God's word, so it's true. Nevertheless, sacred relationship between a husband and a wife must stand under any conditions. Now look at verse 32. Says, "This is a great mystery, But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, the mystery here, referred to here, is the hidden truth of the church. For ages, the church was in the mind of God, but it was not revealed unto men. But now that the church is unveiled, the mystery is made known that God is calling out a group of Jews and Gentiles to be the body of Christ, his bride, the church. So also, the relationship between husband and wife have hidden meaning, the import of which is beyond human knowledge or human understanding. For example, you tell me how your son or your daughter, the one you brought up into this world, the one you love so dearly, one you care for day and night, and would give your life to protect it if need be, and then one day that son or daughter of yours meets one of the opposite sex, and overnight you play second fiddle to them. Right? Certainly. A new and greater love has come into their life. That's the mystery. Back in the Old Testament, Rebecca consented to marry Isaac, a man whom she did not know and had never seen, and a servant whose name in the account was withheld is sent to the far country to seek out a bride for Isaac. Now that servant typifies the Holy Spirit, who is in the world calling, seeking, and finding a bride for Christ. That's you and I. When the Holy Spirit came, he came not to reveal himself, but to reveal his master. So when the servant of God found Rebecca, he asked her, "Will you marry my master?" Her answer was, "Yes." It's a mystery why she would say that, but it was said to illustrate the mystery of the church and the relationship of a husband and a wife. We too, who are Christians, have consented to marry a person we have not seen. We've all experienced that one time or other in our life. It's a mystery. But when we obey God's orders, then it becomes a blessing. In Ephesians chapter 6, the first four verses, we have the parent-child relationship, which I believe today is one of the reasons for juvenile delinquency. A wrong relationship and a wrong attitude, because the Bible is being discarded and the world's knowledge substituted. Notice what it says. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." One of the characteristics of this age in relationship to Jesus Christ, second coming, is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Listen to what it says. "This know also, that in last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." This is the key to failure on the subject of children and the family. Now, the word submission is the key word, which simply means to obey or to submit to a command. Obedience is the first law between the Creator and the creation. And the entire world is regulated by the law of obedience. The million stars, the seasons of the year, are all under the law. Man must exercise obedience in every sphere of life, beginning as a child in the home. The home is where basic training begins. And if there is to be harmony in the home, submission must be practiced from the time of birth till the day that child departs home. And before that child is ever born, the wife learns submission to her husband, and the husband loves his wife as himself. Then, as the children follow, they must be taught what? Obedience. Now, the reason that we are living in a day of lawlessness among youngsters is because of the breakdown in the home to carry out obedience on the part of your children. In too many homes, the child's word is law. And when that happens, it breeds nothing but contempt and brings about disrespect for parents. And if that parent does not maintain a firm hand from the beginning until the time that youngster leaves home, then blame no one but yourself for their disobedience and disrespect for authority and the welfare of others. When the God-given authority of the home breaks down through disobedience on the part of the children, then you see what is happening right today in our day. You know something? Children are great imitators of their parents and usually follow their footsteps. And when mom and dad love the Lord, read the Bible, and pray, and the family attend faithfully church, usually they will do the same. There is, of course, some exceptions to the case. But on the other hand, if the parents mollycoddle the children by spoiling them and pampering them and giving them everything they want and not what they need, then you can expect disobedient, spoiled children who bring nothing but grief into the home. Then there are parents who, in the heat of anger, judge and punish their children. God never used such methods on you and I. Never. If you want the respect of your children, mete out punishment so that your child knows you're doing it for his good and because you love them. And to you children, and to all of you teenagers, I tell you tonight, honor your father and mother. That means to esteem them with all due respect. You will never understand the anxiety and the love your parents have for you until you become one yourself. You must recognize the experience and superior knowledge of your parents. And I'm not talking about their educational background. I'm talking about experience as a love of a husband and a wife. Then, young people, there is a promise for those who would honor their parents. In verse 3, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Most of you have heard of Oliver Green, great preacher, radio preacher, been preaching for years. I had the privilege of meeting him some years ago. We had a meeting together down in Tampa. And he told me of many things that I've never forgotten. A great instructor, a great man of God. Oliver Green was a nationally known evangelist. He's with the Lord now. But he predicted he would not live long, and he didn't. In his book, From Disgrace to Grace, he tells how he dishonored his parents. From the age 9 to 19, he broke his parents' hearts. He robbed them of money, brought shame and reproach on their name, and was known as a black sheep of the Green family. And because of his foul living, he wasn't even welcomed into the home of other young people. But he became a great preacher. And believe me, many people will be in heaven because of this man's preaching. But true to his word, God brought his life to an end with a massive heart attack. And he predicted that long before it happened. And there it is. A family, the wife, the children, the husband. Are you, as a wife, as a husband, as a child, are you following God's order for the family or the world? Better you and I yield and save our home and our nation. I believe even now, America is being weighed in the balance and found wanting. And the judgment of this nation cannot be far off if we continue on as we are today. If America is to be saved, it must begin in the home with you and I as parents and children. Husbands, wives, children, why not tonight, as a family, promise God to make every effort by His grace to make your family relationship what it should be to God's glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I could stand up here for 2 hours talking about the importance of the home, what it should be, what it should consist of. Still, I wouldn't get to the bottom of it all. The home, oh God, impress upon our people the importance of making you the Lord of our home, their home, serving you, giving to you our best, realizing you have the best waiting for us. I pray in Jesus' name to speak to our heart, not only to hear the word, but tonight, come forward and make that commitment to God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.